got into real estate, and then I started seeing examples of, well, people buying and owning a lot of property, and that interest, it had a huge interest on me and impact when I saw the little Greek and Italian men who owned 10, 20 properties. And so I started asking them and picking their brain and seeing how they do it.
In this episode, real estate agent and property investment guru Walton Annie will share his story about how he acquired such a profitable portfolio. You also gain insight into some of the most valuable information he has learned from his mentor and his employment in the real estate industry.
Welcome to Property Invest Story, the podcast that goes behind the scenes of property investing stories. Here's your host, Tyrone Shum.
A typical day for Nanny involves speaking with potential home buyers and devising effective strategies for investors, as well as researching properties which are both on and off the market.
As a buyer's agent, my wife and I work together. My wife does all the searching as far as, you know, whether it's realestate.com domain, and we find a lot of off-market and pre-market opportunities as well. Like my phone's been going crazy this morning because agents are actually back now from holiday, so they've listed all these properties and saying, hey, here's all the properties. So I'm on the phone most of the day. I'm on the phone to new potential clients and meeting with new potential clients, because I do, in that, they get, you know, we do a whole hour of, I guess, strategy sessions where I deal with a lot of investors. Also, you know, home buyers who want to buy their own home, but I tend to specialize more in investors. So that requires planning out a strategy. So I teach them a strategy where we're able to sit down and go, cool, so that takes about an hour. And then the other things I do is I look at a lot of property, and my weeks are sort of break up into, I do weeks where on a, you know, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, I'm looking at a lot of off-market and pre-market properties. On a Thursday, Saturday, I'm looking at all the on-market stuff. And I'm doing, I guess, on night times, we're doing a lot of auctions, and on Saturdays as well. So that's kind of the week, the way it splits up, I guess.
Nanny explains the difference between on-market and off-market properties. He says he's cautious of some of the on-market properties, as they tend to be overpriced.
So I think what a lot of people don't realize, and I didn't know either when I was running my own real estate business, is that about 40% of properties that get sold in Australia don't hit the market. So they're either sold as a, so they were about to hit the market, they're a pre-market opportunity where the agent says, well, we'll put the feelers out to buyer's agents and my small database before we actually hit the market. So in other words, yeah, they're about to come on the market next week, but they'll say, hey, Walt, we're getting 10 people through. Do you want to come through? I say, yep. So we go through, and if it's a match and my buyers like it, we buy it. And so a lot of properties get sold that way. And part of the reason they do that is just to get a good feel for, especially as a, you know, the agents want to know what they should be quoting for that property. So getting 10 people through, they get a bit of a feel so that it's a soft launch, I guess. And then there's complete off-market opportunities, and what they are is that there's a lot of people who don't want to hit the market because, you know, they save a lot of money in marketing. So there's, you know, a $5,000 to $10,000 saving depending on the budget of or the price of their home. The other reason they do that is they don't want all these people trampling through their home. They don't want the neighbors to know. So there's a whole range of reasons, but overall. Personally, I mean, I love all the pre-market properties. They're great opportunities because the vendor is motivated to sell. We're just getting in before anyone else. The off-market opportunities, I like probably 30 or 40% of those, whereas 60 to 70% of them are overpriced. The vendor's not motivated, and so you've got to just sort out through those opportunities a bit, you know, be a bit more careful. But they're, you know, at the moment, as a company that I work for, Cohen Handler, who are the biggest agents in Australia, we're buying 43% currently off and pre-market. So it's, you know, huge numbers.
Having been working in real estate for many years, Nanny has had the opportunity of gaining insight into the ins and outs of purchasing property as an investment. He has managed franchises for Harcourt's Real Estate and describes himself as a person who seizes every opportunity.
I've been in real estate, well, when I say in real estate, I've actually been a real estate agent since I turned 20. I did my course, I guess. My back then you had to do a 4-year course, and then got into real estate. And then I started seeing examples of, well, people buying and owning a lot of property, and that interest, it had a huge interest on me and impact when I saw the little Greek and Italian men who owned 10, 20 properties. And so I started asking them and picking their brain and seeing how they do it. And along the line, I started seeing examples or opportunities. And I guess I'm one where when I see an opportunity, I don't like to let it go. And that's been a huge part of the success, and also something that I need to watch as well, where I've started to decline some opportunities because you don't want to get too big or too risky as well. So I've always been careful, even though I see opportunities. But I did start seeing some opportunities, and that's how we got started, and the rest is history, I guess.
Fantastic. It's interesting as well, you're also a writer for Australian Property Investor, and also you've managed many franchises for Harcourts, for example. Can you tell me a little bit more about that?
Yeah, so I was running my own real estate business for about 15 years, and along those lines, we changed from being a company called Robert Andrew, which I was a shareholder of the group and a director, over to being they sold out to a company called Harcourts, who came over from New Zealand, who are one of the biggest, if not the biggest, in New Zealand. And basically, they, after a year or two of running it here themselves, they wanted to appoint someone more local to be the CEO, and I was running the largest company at the time out of all the offices. So they offered me the position, which I took up. And then basically, as far as what I did was I kept my business running whilst we grew the franchise business here in New South Wales from about 5 shop fronts to about 40, roughly 38 to 40. And then along the way there, I guess there was some, I did that for about 8 or 9 years, running that as well as my own. And then it was time for me to back out. There was change in management and changes, up the top or in the company. And I guess that was partly when I really put the foot down, or probably a year or two before I left it, I put the foot down as far as on the property investing side, because I realized that I guess I needed something that was always going to provide for me. And I lost a bit of faith in running these businesses that even though I was a shareholder and a part owner and all the rest of it, it needed a lot of my attention and my time. And I guess you could say that I was disappointed with the outcome after running businesses for 20 years. I thought, you know what, I didn't think that it was what it was going to provide for me and my family, I guess, the way that I thought it would for the rest of our lives. And so that's where I really turned to property investing and thought, nah, this is the way it's got to be. I've got to really focus on that. And that's what I did for the next 7 or 8 years.
Wow. Okay. And what time was that? Like which year did you start doing that?
Well, I owned 3 properties up to that point, and that was funny enough, I had one of those reminders on Facebook come up with, the old photos that says, hey, it's been, 7 years today. And that was an old photo from, I think, a year or two before I left that company. So I'd say, 7 or 8 years ago is when I realized and really put the foot down. And I bought, 7 years ago, I bought a building of 4 units in Bondi. And that's when I wanted to basically hit it big and do something that was going to, I guess, be a big goal for me to chew over the next 10 years, and I wasn't wrong. But it was also going to give me the opportunities to really accelerate my goals and my plans.
Nanny says that he ensures that his clients are buying the right property and ultimately makes money for his clients.
The main reason is that you're not going to buy the wrong property. So there's no way I buy... Because not forgetting, 80% of our business is referral and repeat. So in the end, the reason I get referral and repeat business is because obviously people are happy that they've made money. And all in all, what it comes down to is my clients have to make money. So in other words, we buy undervalued properties. I can name on one or count on one hand the times that we've paid market price for a property. And it's only because my buyer, my client, fell in love with the house or the property and said, I just got to have it. I don't care what I pay. Usually I can talk them out of that. But there's been a handful of times that they go, no. And look, they are extreme cases as well. We bought, you know, late last year, we bought a property for $6.5 million, and they said, we don't care, we just want to have this, you know. And I said, okay. So we didn't get much of a discount. I still think we did well. It's an amazing, you know, unique property overlooking Tamarama Beach, but it's not like we saved $100,000 or $200,000. In the end, the job is to make sure that my clients make money. And because, like I said, I do a lot with investors. If we can't make money, you know, $50,000 or $100,000 on a purchase, then we move on to the next one because I know that I can. And so that already gives them a reason to use me. I mean, why wouldn't you? And, you know, because obviously it offsets whatever we charge, and by a long shot. And basically it makes sure that you're buying the right property for under what you should be paying, you know, and that's why people use us, the main reason.
Nanny explains that his target market is the east coast of Australia with a specific focus on Sydney.
So as a company, yes, we do the east coast, so Brisbane, Melbourne, Sydney. But the main focus, I guess, is still Sydney in the sense that the company's got four or five offices in Sydney, so North Shore and West and Inner West and Cronulla and all those sorts of areas. I personally look after mainly Sydney metropolitan. Personally, I do most of I do all the eastern suburbs and some of the inner west and inner city, but I have two PAs where they also run around. To, you know, one's based in Cronulla, so all of the south end, and one's based in Parramatta, so all the west. And that works for me because I guess I've been around this game for a very long time, and so I get a lot of referral work, and they want me to go all over Sydney. So we carry about 15 to 20 clients with the three of us, and we, that keeps us busy, but not, you know, I guess it keeps us turning over property each month and buying well.
After the break, we'll delve further into how Nanny's property investment journey began.
And so I offered him 90, I think they didn't take it, and then we bought it for 95. And the way that worked is that, as a young man, I didn't have enough for a deposit. I just bought my, you know, brand new Commodore, because that's what you do when you're 20. Yeah, and I thought that was the answer to all my problems.
How he grew his property portfolio.
But we do put it back into the properties at the moment because we're working and everything's great. The only thing is this year we'll be, putting a DA in to look at developing at least one of the blocks. And we've already renovated one of the properties, which we usually renovate one or two or three per annum.
And the moment when everything clicked for him.
Anyway, I saw that they'd slapped an auction sticker on this block and I thought, oh no. I thought, I'm going to have to move fast. So I rang my broker as soon as I saw the auction sign, because it was in 20 days, and I said, hey, what do you think? Can we get this done?
And that's coming up next. I'm Taran Shum, and you're listening to Property Investory. Hey, podcast listeners, are you enjoying listening to these stories and want more? Then head over to propertyinvestory.com and subscribe to receive your free property case studies that I only send exclusively via email. Just one of the many benefits of being part of this community. These real case studies are from experienced property investors where they share specific numbers of their portfolio, their strategies, and much more. Simply visit propertyinvestory.com to get your free case studies. Now back to the show. Nanny explains how he's built up an impressive multi-million dollar property portfolio over the years. And it all started by creating a win-win strategy with the involvement of his parents.
The journey began when I was just started real estate. I think it was a year or two in, and yeah, as a young man. And I saw a house that was, it was a 12-year-old house, like a brick veneer, nice home on a nice block of land. In not a bad street, but it was just the most rundown house you've ever seen. So that, you know, they had 12 cats living there, and you know, and it was just the wrong people with the right house. And the price had been reduced because no one could sell it back then from 120, 130 down to 99, 950, I think. And so I offered them 90. I think they didn't take it, and then we bought it for 95. And the way that that worked is that, as a young man, I didn't have enough for a deposit. I just bought my, brand new Commodore, because that's what you do when you're 20. Yeah. And I thought that was the answer to all my problems. and it was the answer to some problems back then, but not all of them. But I convinced my parents. It took a bit of work, but I know I convinced Mum and Dad, took a bit of work after that, to use their equity and to go halves with me. And initially Dad didn't want to borrow it, but then I said, hey, look, the way we'll do it is I'll do all the renovations and whatever else, and then we'll just sell it. And then I reckon this thing will be worth $150,000, and we'll get our $50,000. And they had a mortgage of $75,000, mortgage of $60,000. Their home was worth $75,000, is what they paid for it after deposit and so forth. They owed $60,000. And basically they were faced with a 25-year mortgage, and I said, well, that's crazy. Mm. What you want to do is we'll do this and I'll give you the 25 grand and that'll cut half of it off, And so we did it, and within 6 months I completely renovated it with some friends and friends of friends and tradies. And instead of selling it, we decided to refinance against it because I got a very good broker. And so we still managed to refinance and pull out our money, and we got roughly $25,000 each, and I bought my first real estate business at the age of 22, and with that money, and they actually paid, $20,000 off their mortgage, which is great. Mm. So off the back of that, we did it again a year later, and we did another place for $88,000 we paid, and then that was worth about $130,000, $140,000 by the time I renovated it. And then the third property I bought off the equity that we then had was a block of land down the south coast in a place called Ostermini, just before Wollongong, and that was to build my dream home. So it wasn't all about investing at that point. I thought, nah, now it's time to, do the thing and all the rest of it. But then I realised that wasn't, well, my relationship didn't work out for one, and secondly, it wasn't where I wanted to be, and it wasn't the thing. So I decided to eventually sell that, and I got very lucky that it was a bit of a boom period. So even though I held on to it for 2 or 3 years, I managed to make $100,000 on it before I sold it, because that block could have cost me a lot of money. So that was a very lucky escape.
Wow. Okay. And this was going back at least in the 90s, I assume.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. So I started real estate in 93, I think. Yeah, 94. And so, that was probably 95, 96. And yeah.
Wow. There's a lot of changes happened, obviously, around the New South Wales area.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I mean, there is. Funny thing, though, is, I still do a lot of, speaking gigs and seminars about property investing, and the principles are all the same. And I meet a lot of people that have a lot of equity in their homes that are in their 40s and 50s, and they have teenage or 20-year-old kids, and I always talk to them about that story, because I think, it not only set me up, but it's since have set up my whole family, not just my mum and dad, but my sister as well, where we own a lot of property, all of us together. Mm. So that's been a huge part of our strategy.
Nanny says that he's always been a cautious person, drawing on his experience as a real estate agent. However, he regrets not undertaking enough research when he was younger and having to sell a property that he loved.
I'm a very cautious sort of investor, so I think that the lowest of the low was probably that block of land where, things didn't work out for me. And then I also found out that this land is sort of on a hill and it overlooks the ocean. Beautiful part of the world. It's just that because of that, I hadn't done any research. I was a young guy, and apparently there was below it, in the ground, was like a natural water sort of easement running down the bottom and underneath it. And so it meant that for me to build on it, I'd have to really spend a lot of money in doing that. So had I started, I did get plans approved, but had I started to actually hit the button and build, that could have really been a tragic thing to do, because it would have sucked a lot of cash and a lot of capital. Still to today, I still drive past that block from time to time, and no one's built on it. And I think it's because of that reason. Yeah. And besides that, there were other problems that one of the neighbors had built his house on, was encroaching on that land as well. So it had a lot of challenges, a lot of problems that I just didn't see at the time and know and did enough homework to when I bought it. So I just saw the views of the ocean and went, yeah, this is beautiful, but had a lot of problems. So I was very lucky to duck away or get out of that. And it was because I decided I didn't want to live there anymore. It wasn't so much as a bad investment. And then what really cemented my decision to sell it was that I thought, well, you know, it has got these other challenges. Maybe I just get out of this and take my 100, which I thought I'd sort of make around 100 and run. And that's what happened. But besides that, I've always been very cautious. Like even when I bought the block of units in Bondi, I knew that that building has subsided, so I've had to underpin it. It cost me, you know, $60,000-$70,000 to do that, and that was risky. But I knew that it was very calculated risk in the sense that I'd spoken to a structural engineer. He said, "Yeah, tops $100,000 to underpin it. Not that it will be 100%, but it will be livable, and you'll be fine with that investment." And I thought, "That's fine. I can handle $100,000, you know, loss into it because I bought it for a lot under what." A lot of the value, whatever it was worth. And also I knew that if I got myself in trouble, I could sell off the other three properties that I owned at the time because I'd rather keep a block of four units in Bondi than anything else that I had.
Yeah. What does underpinning, by the way, mean? And what was the issue with that?
Yeah, underpinning just means that they dig holes. They dig all the way around the footings and they literally pour concrete into the ground surrounding it. So they give it bigger shoes, I guess. Oh. And they drill into your footings and they put steel rods and the new concrete attaches itself to give it just bigger footings. That's basically what it means. So it's now sitting on a massive ton of concrete that's sitting underneath the building. So it just means that it stops any more movement because I don't know if you know, but most people don't, but all of Bondi and a lot of the eastern suburbs are built on sand dunes. Yeah. So, there used to be all sand dunes there. So sand is great to build on, but the challenge with it, and these are things you learn along the way, is that when the roads shake because of traffic, and we're on a main road, the road shakes, and if you're if there's water getting in because the people who owned it before us they didn't do any maintenance work to the block, so all of the stormwater and everything was running underneath the footings. And so you can imagine if you put sand in a glass, if you put water in it as well and shake it, you'll see that, you know, it all moves. And so sand actually carries vibration, and so that's what causes buildings or property to actually subside and move and crack. Sand is amazing to build on, so I've been told by a lot of engineers, as long as it's well contained. You know, if it's not, then it can just slide down like an hourglass, and that's exactly what happened.
Okay. And also Bondi has fantastic views of the ocean, so it's worth quite a bit there.
Yeah, the good thing is, look, we're about to, build up and put that DA through, and we can fit another two or four units on there, and the minute we go up one level, we've got amazing views, and that will change. A $4 million investment to a $12 million investment, or wow. 10 or 12, depending. Yeah, and that just changes the whole dynamics of everything, and that's pretty cool.
The moment where everything clicked for Nanny was buying the block of units that changed his life and his family's life.
It has to be the building, I mean, because that really changed our lives. So the biggest thing that happened there was that I didn't have finance approved at the time to buy it, because what happened was I was traveling a lot for Harcourts, you know, interstate, and I just got off the plane, caught a cab home, and I drove past, and I'd been keeping an eye on blocks of units because I knew that was going to be something that would really accelerate, you know, the portfolio and really get myself on the right path. So I was keeping an eye on this block and two or three others. And it had been on the market for a long time, and the market hadn't moved yet. My business partner and mentor at the time said, "You know, the boom's coming in the next 12 or 24 months." And I said, "Yeah, absolutely. You know, it's overdue because of the GFC and other things. It just took a longer time to get here." So, anyway, I saw that they'd slapped an auction sticker on this block, and I thought, "Oh no!" I thought, "I'm going to have to move fast." So I rang my broker as soon as I saw the auction sign, because it was in 20 days, and I said, hey, what do you think? Can we get this done? And he said, oh, man, you know, I'll do my best, but I don't know. You know, I don't know if I can get it done in time. So we started working on the finance, and, well, 20 days later, because it was all a bit complicated or whatever, he still didn't have formal finance, you know, or loan approval.
Oh, no.
But I knew that I just had to go for it, because if it was a block, if this was going to go for under 2 mil, I had to have my name on it, because there was been no sales in the area for under 2 mil for a block of units like that. So if this was the opportunity, I had to do it. And I remember being at the auction, you know, Damien Cooley, one of the best auctioneers, except this time it wasn't on my side. and basically, you know, he said to me, don't go over 1.75. And I thought, okay, and it actually did. Because I thought that I had it, so I had to just go a little bit over. Plus, I wanted to test him, make sure it was really good anyway. and so we bought it. And look, I must have, yeah, that was quite the morning when I woke up thinking, what have I just done, you know?
Buyer's remorse.
Absolutely, you know, boy, talk about, you know, so having that feeling, you know, I do help a lot of my clients, obviously, because I know exactly what that feels like. But I also know that it's been the best decision in real estate. When you say when everything fell into line, that's been it. Wow. I mean, you know, we changed the rents from $400 a week on average in the two-bedroom units up to $700.
Wow, that's a big jump.
Yeah, huge jump. You know, and that's without a complete renovation. It's just that they're undervalued. The tenants have been there forever. They were just run down. So it was literally a coat of paint, new floors. Without even changing kitchens or bathrooms, just tidy up, we really changed, the rents. Wow. Overnight. So everything just literally, like you say, fell into place, and we moved into the worst one, and we've only just finished renovating it last year. And that was probably the hardest thing to do, to live in a half unrenovated place.
Yes.
But the rest all looked great, it's been the best journey ever.
Having put in the hard work required to build his property investment portfolio, Nanny is looking forward to the future and being able to make decisions where his properties are positively geared.
Putting a DA through this year because one of the biggest challenges there is to work out. We've had a few architects come through, and believe it or not, so if you can picture a fully renovated block of units with a nice backyard and front yard and everything looks beautiful now, they're all saying to me, I need to knock it down.
Okay.
So I had to get my head around that, and I still am, to be honest, but the numbers are so good. If we do knock it down, that it's hard to actually ignore that. So after doing all this work and doing a lot of it myself and having a lot of memories there and, you know, just everything's got a story to it, to be faced with the prospect that we're going to knock it down is huge. But having said that, look, the money we stand to make, and that's where you need to put your emotions aside and say, well, the block's already set my family up, not just that block but a few of the other properties. But the other block of units that we own is also on a 1,000 square metre block of land, and we've recently, just late last year, we bought the house next door with another 1,000 square metre block, so we can develop that into 25 units. So,
wow.
Yeah, I won't, but you know, that's a long-term project. I don't see myself doing that for another 10 years. But to know that we can do that, and that they're both positive geared, is great. Because it means that we're just sitting on a nest egg. So I guess it's all very exciting. Knowing, to answer the question, knowing that the future, you know, whichever way we go, the future's pretty much, we've done the hard yards, I guess, is probably what you could say.
Inspired by Walter Nanny's story and what he is excited about today, we'll keep the conversation going in a future episode on Property Investory. We'll talk about how to apply Nanny's strategy.
And when I show up and I meet, you know, my potential clients are all in their 40s and 50s in that regard, and they're sitting on a lot of equity, you know, $1 million, $2 million worth of equity. Their money sits at home every day whilst they get up every morning and go to work, and they don't do anything about it. And I say, well, why don't we get that money to start working for you? And that's the big shift.
There'll be easy to follow action steps.
I fabricate my own equity by renovating.
Mm-hmm.
So that, you know, that makes it so that I get more return on each property.
And success habits for property investing.
I guess is I can be a bit of a perfectionist, so good or bad, I don't know. But I guess my personality style, but also I.
And that's next time on a future episode of Property Investory. Also, I'd love to hear from you. If you have any questions, feedback, or want to share your story, send me an email to hello@propertyinvestory.com and let's start a conversation. Thanks for listening.